Ramsey TV.
Martin Zander, why don't you teach on 2 Timothy chapter 1? You never teach on 2 Timothy chapter 1. Well, funny you should mention that, because today I'm going to teach on 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, I don't even think I've introduced myself all week, in case you don't know. My name is Martin Zander. I am the host of MZTV. That's what the MZ stands for, Martin Zander. I live at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, which is a fine place to take off from when Christ Jesus appears in the air and takes us to be with him. That's going to be a great day, and I believe that that day is coming soon. I am not, and I will not, lose that expectation. How can we? The days grow more wicked and more evil. Speaking of evil days and the evil people that comprise the evil days and who make the evil days more evil, if you have a problem with government, if you have a problem with the way things are run, join the club. And how are we as believers supposed to operate under these evil jurisdictions? Well, I gave a talk on that 27 years ago now in Fairview, South Carolina, and it was the topic of the Rodney Parris Martin Zander special broadcast on Sunday. Rodney Parris took a 27-year-old audio tape that I made in South Carolina in October of 1996 on evil government and our role in evil government. Should we be subject to the civil authorities even when they're evil? This is an important topic, especially today as the days get more evil. And so I highly recommend this video to you, my sister Kelly, who I thank. Don't thank her enough. She's at Stark and Hartman headquarters in Canton, Ohio, my birthplace. I grew up in Canton, Ohio. That's where Stark and Hartman, that's the publishing company my sister and I started. All my books are published through Stark and Hartman, and my sister Kelly makes sure that you get this show every day. She runs the website. She's an invaluable asset to this outreach, and so she doesn't get enough credit. I give it to her today, and any good word you could give to Kelly. We all need the encouragement, that's for sure. So Kelly is going to put a link beneath this video. There's a little tab underneath this video. It says show more. You hit that, and you'll not only get the audio of this show. Those of you who want to download the audio, put this show on your iPod or whatever, you can do that. It's amazing. I don't know how it's done. Kelly does that. And so you can get that. Also, you'll see the link to Sunday's video. Rodney Parris takes an old audio cassette that nobody can listen to anymore unless you still have an audio cassette player. Not many people do. He digitizes the audio and he puts video to it and helpful text frames. And then he makes, on this one, he makes a really great segue from 1996 to 2016. 20 years, and he just, boom, makes this beautiful transition. You're going to love it. Watch that video, and more importantly, find out how we're to deal with the evil civil authorities today. Also, I'll remind you that there is a conference coming up in Des Moines, Iowa, September 15th, 16th, and 17th, 2023. Wes and Seth Follenkamp are running that. I am going to be there. And Wes Follenkamp, obviously, and Seth, they're going to be speaking. They will be there. Scott Hicko will be addressing the gathered faithful. And so this is centrally located. It's within driving distance of 5, 6, 7 states. And the hotel where the conference is being held is right next to the airport. This, I think this is the most convenient conference there's ever been. And also, may God cause it to be the last conference there will ever be. I would love to see you there. Wes has made a great introductory video to this, advertising it. It's called the God Conference, if I haven't mentioned that. How audacious is that? The God Conference. Hey, we might as well just say it. This is the God Conference. If you're not coming to the God Conference, and God is going to show up there too. Yeah, God's going to be there. God has already made his reservations. So why don't you make your reservations? You can go to my homepage, martinzenner.com, and at the top of the page, near the top of the page, you'll see a highlighted area in yellow. You click there and you'll get all excruciating detail concerning the conference, the place, the time, the speakers. But for now, I'm going to show you Wes's promotional video. This is really cool. Roll the tape.
I, Wes Vollenkamp, invite you to join us in Des Moines, Iowa this coming September 15th through the 17th for a conference about God. We'll be discussing the big truths of God, truths that you just won't hear in church or in Orthodox Christianity, truths such as the active, absolute sovereignty of the only true God, Jesus' successful work as the Savior of the world, God's Aeonian plan, the truth of the scriptures versus crappy Bible translations, the truth about death, the two gospels, and so much more. There will be fellowship, food, encouragement, and probably a shenanigan or two. Update, we've settled on 7 as the official number of shenanigans that will transpire. So get yourself ready, schedule that plane, train, automobile, or other form of travel that will get you to Des Moines this coming September to join us. In the video description below is a link to the conference information page at biggestjesus.com.
So how can you not go to that conference? I can't wait to see what the 7 shenanigans are going to be. I have not been filled in about the shenanigans, but there are 7 shenanigans planned. So that's going to be a surprise for me as well. So I would love to meet you. So please, if you can find it in your heart, come to the Des Moines Conference, September 15th, 16th, and 17th. Now, Paul to Timothy. Paul is writing this young man because Paul is in prison. This is his last letter. He wants his work to continue, and he scans the field to see who is the most likely to have the energy, to have the wherewithal, to have the determination, the guts to continue his work. And the only guy he could think of, because everyone else had forsaken him, how sad is that, was Timothy. And so he's writing this young man, and in a way, if you want to look at it this way, and I do right now, I want to look at it this way. We have what we have because of Timothy. Paul gave it to Timothy, and Timothy passed it on to faithful men. Paul told Timothy to do that. Paul was passing the mantle on to Timothy, and Timothy was told by Paul to pass it on to faithful men who would be faithful dispensers of the evangel. And so through a long line of individuals, many of whose names we do not know, but God knows their names. Down through the last 2,000 years, there have been teachers of Paul's gospel who have gone against the grain, who have faced shame and disparagement and discouragement, and yet they heralded, they had their time upon the stage of life, and now they're dead. They passed the baton to others. And it is quite possible, ladies and gentlemen, that we are the last ones. I talked about bookends yesterday. Imagine this, that we are finishing what the Apostle Paul started. What an honor and a privilege that is. And Paul would be so happy to know that we're still holding the faith in spite of being at the end of this wicked eon. And he would be so happy to know that we're still meeting. It's important to get together. I know it's a hassle. Believe me, I know it's a hassle. I'm flying to Des Moines. I'm at the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula here. I'm not in really reasonable driving distance, so I'm going to be flying up there. And yeah, it's a hassle and it's expensive. I understand that. But what could be more worthy? What could delight Paul the most? I mean, he would be thrilled to know that we're doing this. So this is the guy writing Timothy. Timothy did a great job, by the way. But Paul had to almost shame him. I mean, Paul's laying it on him. I'm not going to go through all that, but I've talked about this before, why I think Paul chose Timothy and what challenges Timothy was facing. Most of the people that left Paul did so because of the attractions of the world. Demas loving the current aeon went to Thessalonica. Paul mentions that in this very letter. Paul doesn't say that Demas was no longer in the body of Christ. He just fell in love with the current aeon, and he was not one that Paul wanted to entrust the evangel to because he had other irons in the fire. And Timothy, being a young man, he probably had things he wanted to do. He didn't necessarily want to be a soldier in the evangel. Probably had a girlfriend. Maybe his father had a lucrative business that he was going to inherit. And yet here's this guy in prison, this Paul, who Timothy knew him well, respected him, knew what he was about, knew how God had chosen him. And it was this one that was calling Timothy to this work. So I'm in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, and let's go to verse 7. Paul is saying this to Timothy to, like, light a fire under him, and he says that. He talks about rekindling what is in you. That word rekindling mentions in verse 6, "For which cause I am reminding you to be rekindling the gracious gift of God which is in you." Ooh, rekindling. Paul, it's a nice way of saying that whatever gift was given to Timothy, absolutely through God, relatively perhaps through Paul, Timothy was letting it go. Timothy was not paying attention to it. Again, he was a young man with the normal desires to be something in this world, to have a girlfriend, to have a wife. And so Paul is saying, "Hey, listen, you're the guy." Timothy might have at first gone, "Oh my God, I'm the guy. Oh, geez, why me, Paul, why me?" But later he stood up under it. Yeah, Paul grabbed him by the shirt collar, figuratively, I think, yeah. Just says, "Hey, look me in the eye. You're the man. You're the man." He didn't even ask him, "Are you up for this?" He just says, "You're up for this," basically. I love that. This is why Paul tells him, in verse 7, "For God gives us not a spirit of timidity." Timothy might have been a little shy, but of power and of love and of sanity. The power. Now, it's unusual to find the word power next to the word love. Power and love. The more powerful you are, the more it is incumbent upon you to be loving. It is impossible for God, the most powerful force in the universe, to be anything but loving. The people who are cruel, the people who are unusual, the people who want to lord it over other people, they're posers. They don't have all power. They want all power. They're scrambling for the top spots, and they're elbowing people on their way to the top. But if you're actually on top, you don't have to do that. This is why God, it's incumbent upon him as the most powerful force in the universe to be loving. This is why Paul tells Timothy, power and love. Power and love go hand in hand. If you want to be powerful, well, we know that those who are weak are powerful. When we are weak, then God in us is powerful. But love, this is why, as I told you Monday, it's important for us to love one another. Love is tough. Love isn't Hallmark sentiments. Love isn't hearts. It's not. That's not love. That's emotionalism. That doesn't get us anywhere. Love is agape. Love is a decision. It does bleed over into the emotions, but it's basically something you do. Nike's got it kind of there. Just do it. And the more powerful you are, the more authority you have, the more incumbent it is upon you to love. And of sanity, a sound mind. Some of us think we're nuts. Other people think we're nuts for what we believe. And probably some people were telling Timothy that he was nuts, which is why Paul mentions sanity. God does not give us a spirit of timidity. This tells me that Timothy was of timidity. Timothy, timidity, kind of sounds the same, right? Paul says, no, power, love, sanity. You got that, kid? Power. You have all the power you need. Comes from Christ. I don't care how weak you are. Later, he tells Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. Power, love, and sanity, a sound mind. And it is in this letter, Paul tells him to correctly cut the word of truth. That takes a sound mind. It takes sanity. In verse 8, you may not be ashamed then of the testimony of our Lord. Timothy might have said, no, I got no problem with that. Nor yet of me. Okay, I might have a little problem with that. Why does Paul tell Timothy not to be ashamed? Because the dude tended to be ashamed. Why would he be ashamed? Because his leader, his fearless leader, was in prison in Rome. Thought to be an evildoer. Thought to be a rabble-rouser. Paul was considered by many to be the offscouring of all things. He said that himself. One of his claims to fame was being lowered in a basket out of the Damascus wall. Oh, that's great. What's your... what can you give us to commend your work? Well, I was lowered in the basket at midnight off the Damascus wall to escape people who wanted to kill me. Okay, is there anything else on your resume? Well, I'm a slave of Christ Jesus. Okay, you're a slave. You were lowered off a wall in a basket. It was a nice basket. Oh, okay, it was a nice basket. Good. What else? Well, I've spent a day and a night in a swamp. I've been beaten by the Jews. Yeah, five times. They beat me with rods in Philippi and one other time. I forget what that was, but... Yeah, I forgot this. At which time, person... Oh, good, finally, something decent's going to come out here. I was shipwrecked. Oh, you were shipwrecked. Great. Those are Paul's credentials. And he was in prison in Rome. That's why it would be easy to be ashamed of the man. You may not be ashamed then of the testimony of our Lord, nor yet of me, his prisoner. Paul begins the book of Romans by saying, Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus. He was a slave and a prisoner. But suffer evil with the evangel. That's what Paul's business card said. Paul of Tarsus, you turn it around, suffers evil with the evangel. Oh, do you do anything else? Well, I used to make tents. Oh, great. Suffer evil with the evangel in accord with the power of God. Verse 9, who saves us and calls us with a holy calling. And this is really the whole thing that I'm driving at. Who saves us and calls us with a holy calling. Holy is separated, set apart. God has set us apart. We were designated beforehand for the place of a son and a daughter before the disruption of the world, Ephesians chapter 1. And now, during our lifetime, we are called. Because whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Whom he justifies, these he glorifies also. So we are now in the midst of a holy calling. It's a separated calling. We're just being separated by God. Holy has nothing to do with behaving yourself. It has nothing to do with moral character whatsoever. It is God's pleasure to set us apart. And here's the proof in the pudding right here. Not in accord with our acts. So it's this calling. This does away with religion. Every religion makes your salvation or your favor of God depend on your acts, on what you do. This is the heart of Paul's gospel right here. And he's mentioning it in the last letter in so few but such beautiful words. Not in accord with our acts. Right there. Not in accord with our acts. Six words that do away with religion, not in accord with our acts. Anyone who tries to tell you that you're inferior, you can't be in the body of Christ because of this and this and this and this and this, take them to 2 Timothy 1:9. This is one of my favorite verses. Calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts, but in accord with his own purpose. It's God's purpose to do this with us. And the grace, what's grace? Glad you asked. Grace is favor granted to those who deserve the opposite. We qualify for that. And the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before time's aeonian. That aligns perfectly with Ephesians chapter 1, as I knew it would. Before time's aeonian. Well, that's even before the disruption of the world. Wow. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're designated in Christ, designated beforehand, before the disruption of the world. Now, we're said to be given grace before times aeonian, before the aeonian times even began, which was before the disruption of the world. The disruption of the world happened during the aeonian times. That was the end of aeon 1, the disruption of the world, that predicated the recreation of the earth in Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. Before times aeonian. That is marvelous. And so, how can your behavior screw up your call if your call was sealed and if you were separated to God before sin even entered the world? Sin entered the world at the disruption of the world. I believe that's when sin entered the universe. Sin entered the human race through Adam, but sin was in the universe before that. The disruption of the world was probably, I don't know this for sure, I'm speculating a bit here, and I will always tell you when I'm speculating, caused by a satanic disruption of some kind. The throwing down, the downcasting, that's what disruption is, the downcasting of the cosmos at that time. And that's when sin entered. And so, of course, we know specifically our sin entered through Adam. But before that, and before even sin entered, period, we were already in the mind of God, sealed and set apart. We didn't exist yet, but we would. We would be called, obviously, subsequent to our birth, we would be called into this. And then we would have a wonderful apostle who got specific information from God about our calling. That celebrate this with me, ladies and gentlemen. It is not in accord with our acts, but it is in accord with his own purpose and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian.